On the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
Today, we are going to do a brewery takeover of Third Eye Brewing Company in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ooh.
Yay! The Great American Beer Festival just named them Brewery of the Year for 2001 to 5,000 barrel brewery. Let's qualify that.
Yep.
For the second consecutive year.
The Third Eye Brewing Company beers we'll be trying today are Untapped Potential Kolsch Style Ale.
That's what they called me in high school. Untapped Potential.
Nirvana or Bust Double Dry Hopped NIPA. Enlightenment Blood Orange Wheat Ale. The Getting Twisted German Pretzel Ale. And Higher Purpose Milky Stout.
Milky, milky, right?
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey there. Welcome, everyone, to another suds segment where we have a lot of spirit. In fact, good old boy Mike is constantly at 75% bourbon, and good old boy Dave usually tops out at about 86% gin.
Sometimes I get up to about 92.
Oh, and what am I?
You're 14% Amaro.
Okay.
26% Wallen Popek
Brewing beer.
And 15% Hershey syrup.
Wow. That's an interesting mix.
Well, what about the Isla whiskey?
Do you just
what about the Troegs syrup, Brewery? You
know, bottled it straight back. Yeah. I mean, you don't even look at the label, or
she gets an infusion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Okay. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana. More than what my parts are, apparently. And joining me today at the table is good old boy Mike.
Well, I just want to say that while I like the thought of being 75% bourbon, I would have to say that I am probably more destined to be 92% gin, because I probably consume by volume more gin than any other beverage, hands down. So
me too. Gin's good.
You know, I don't think I've never did. Yeah, no, there is no bad day with gin, like ever.
Except the day the bottle runs out.
Yeah. Okay. Good old boy Dave.
Hey.
What? Did you practice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could tell.
Walk around the yard sometimes just going, hey. Mm. Makes the neighbors look at me funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Honey, call 911 again.
And
that damn boy is walking around the yard again yelling, hey.
Yeah.
No pants.
And for the record, I am 1/4 Natty Bow, 1/4 Pennsylvania Breweries, 1/4 Amaro, and 1/4
Hershey syrup.
Scotch.
Wow. She did not include Hershey's in there.
Oh, no. So no Hershey squirts.
There's nothing sweet about me.
God almighty, I'm not part of this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, today, we are going to do a brewery takeover of Third Eye Brewing Company in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ooh.
Yay! The Great American Beer Festival just named them Brewery of the Year for 2001 to 5,000 barrel brewery. Let's qualify that.
Yep.
For the second consecutive year.
We'd call that like a medium. brewery.
Yeah. Yeah. Other accolades for them include the Grand National Champion at the U.S. Open Beer Championships in 2024, gold medal winners at the U.S. Open Beer Championships for their beers Higher Consciousness, Double Astral, Dark Aura, and Inner Sight. They were also medal winners at the U.S. Open Beer Championship, which included 4 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze. Now, I know I should probably ask good old boy Dave to find if he knows any more information about it, but what I can tell you is that Third Eye Brewing became Sharonville, Ohio's first craft brewery when it opened in June 2020. A group of 5 owners came together, including Tom Collins and a father-daughter team of Tom and Chloe Schaefer. Now, the name has a fun meaning. The third eye is typically known as the mind's eye, and it looks for new possibilities. The brewery hopes to open your mind's eye 1 pint at a time.
What happens if your third eye is brown?
You need to take some window cleaner and clean it off.
Do you open your brown eye, or do you... can you wink with it?
Oh, there's eyes upon you, Dave. Just not when you think there are.
Someone's always watching.
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's very sweet of you to say that. Now, of note, they did take the co-founder and head brewer of Brink Brewing and had them join their team. So,
well there you go. So yeah. We were having this discussion as we were looking over, you know, the script, that I was thinking about the other breweries that are in the Cincinnati area. I think probably the largest one is Rheingeist.
Rheingeist, yeah. And then you got Mad Tree and Urban Artifact.
Jack Yo's has been around for a long time. Probably one of the older breweries in the area as
well. Fatheads? Is that Cincinnati?
I know it's Fatheads is Akron.
Akron,
yeah. Or I'm sorry, Cleveland. So you know, when you find somebody that's making really great beer, I always think that that's a byproduct of the community of breweries that are probably that those people have been exposed to. And I don't know that that's the case with those 5 people. I don't know their backgrounds, but it is one of those things where you tend to challenge, you know, people that are brewing within the same market that you're brewing in. I would say 5,000 barrels. I'm betting their distribution is not any more than 100 miles, you know, around Cincinnati itself. So it's really great that they're making great beer. And this to me is actually a more difficult award, you know, to be, because it's not just for a beer.
Right. Yeah, you didn't just get to...
It is somebody that is looking across the portfolio of beers that you're capable of making and really honoring, not just your capability of doing a one-off. This is... You're bringing all the skill and talent across a portfolio of beers.
Compared to all the other breweries roughly your size across the U.S., like how does your...
Oh, sure. How do you stack up
all in all? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
And their website, just in case you're curious, just talks a lot about beer and food, which honestly to me is a very Ohio thing. Beer and food kind of go hand in hand.
Skyline chili.
Yep. So, good old boy, Mike, why don't you give us today's lineup?
The Third Eye Brewing Company beers we'll be trying today are Untapped Potential Kolsch Style Ale.
That's what they called me in high school. Untapped Potential.
Nirvana or Bust Double Dry Hopped NIPA, Enlightenment Blood Orange Wheat Ale, the Gettin' Twisted German Pretzel Ale, and Higher Purpose Milky Stout.
Milky, milky, right?
Okay. Whatever, dude. Well, we're going to be tasting these beers on the fly, like we normally do, and then we're going to give our tasting notes and rating them from 1 to 5 as we go.
So I'm not rating Dave.
You could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me break out that.
Let's get to the first beer.
All right. Untapped Potential.
Untapped Potential. This is 5% ABV. The Kolsch style originated in Cologne, Germany. German malts, hops, and yeast keep this beer true to its heritage, making it crisp,
delicate, and extremely drinkable. This beer has won awards in 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023 Ohio Craft Brewers Cup and took Best in Show for the competition in 2020.
Interesting.
So Ohio is proud of Kolsch beers.
As they should be. I mean, you know, there are a couple of things that I look for in a really great Kolsch. It is the style of bitterness. Yeah. It is how crisp it is. And it has to have a bit of a watery, you know, kind of component to it. Those are, you know, kind of the three things I think about, you know, for a really great Kolsch. Wow. This has all three of those in check for sure.
Yeah.
I love this. This is what a great opening salvo of a beer for us to enjoy.
Yeah. Mike liked a beer?
We'll be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we are doing a brewery takeover of a brewery.
We sure are.
In Cincinnati/Sharonville, Ohio, called Third Eye Brewing Company. And right before the break, we started talking about the first beer, which is the Untapped Potential Kolsch Style Ale, 5% ABV. And shocker, folks, good old boy Mike was
happy
about it.
And it's on tape.
And we have not coerced him in any way.
Oh, he's been coerced.
Well, I had thrown out, you know, a bit of a question to think about, are other great Kolsch beers that, you know, we've enjoyed either here on the show or just in general. And, you know, like, wow, that's sad that, you know, weren't like, you know, half a dozen that were kind of jumping out at us. But Urban Chestnut, who makes a lot of great German beers, you know, has a really great Kolsch in their lineup. But, you know, I think that it's definitely one of those beers that if it's on the menu, and especially that is a beer that I'm going to usually start with. But I think this one is very well made.
Well, you know, Kolsch is sort of a hybrid lager ale kind of mashup a little bit, and it's got components of both things, but I like this. I think the finish on this is just bitter enough that it kind of carries with the sweetness. Good mouthfeel, like in 5%, I think this thing has just the right amount of flavor that keeps it interesting. And this is a good beer, like sitting, eating some wings, watching the game, like whatever. Like, I think you could have anything to eat with this beer.
I think wherever they're sourcing these noble hops, I think they're the ones that I want to stand up and applaud the most to, because I think that that's really what's made the difference, that and the choice of yeast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Fair. I mean, and the thing is, on average, like, even if we were exposed to really good Kolsch beers in our market, would we be going, like, I feel like there's such an underrated style, because you're either going for a Pilsner, maybe you're going for like a pale ale, and you really, like, this is a niche that is such, when it's done well, is such a beautiful beer style, but like no one knows how to market it correctly. Does that make sense?
But I think on the other side of the coin is that getting really great, you know, well-made Kolsch is, it's pretty difficult. I find the vast majority of them are too sweet.
Yeah.
They do not have a crisp finish that, you know, it's usually just some lay down finish that is, you know, some of that sugar is translating on the back end, you know. But it is a bit of that mouthfeel thing, that watery, you know, watering kind of mouthfeel that mm-hmm. is probably the most common thing that I just don't taste. People nail the hops. You know, working with noble hops is not like, you know, rocket science. But it is those other components that I really find are usually somewhat lacking or missing in the vast majority of Kolsch, you know, beer that that is being made.
I think there's a lot that goes into, yeah, to your point, like with the noble hops, it's not like people are trying to stack, oh, I want grapefruit plus strawberry and then a little bit of cat pee and like what all those other mm-hmm. things are. It's just, how do I get this pretty consistent kind of earthy, fruity, you know, flowery kind of thing that backs up this, whatever my malt bill is. And then, but I think, you know, the mash, like components, like what they're mashing, how they do the mash. I think, cause this is a German beer style, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that there's a lot of tradition and a lot of structure in how these beers should be mashed, how they go into the boil and everything, and how they need to be finished out with the yeast. So yeah, I think it is a technically not difficult, but a beer that has to be brewed by someone who understands the technical aspects of how to get the best out of this style of beer.
Very simple ingredients.
Yeah. Sure. And also somebody that can show restraint, because exactly. in this day and age, everything is about the excessiveness. I mean, yeah. everyone wants a 15% IPA, right?
Yeah. I'll take a less is more yeah. Kolsch.
Oh, I need an Imperial Kolsch. Yes. You know, like, yeah. that doesn't no. even make sense.
Please don't do that.
It doesn't work.
Right.
But yes, this has been beautifully many executed.
Unkind words yeah. coming to mind.
And right. low ABV beers can be a lot more difficult to brew well
sure.
than a high ABV beer, because there's less to hide behind, and you know, you've got to get the most out of what you've got.
Yep. Yeah, true. Okay, well, right off the gate, I think we need to rate this Kolsch a 5.
You know what's funny is we've been doing this show for a lot of years, and I honestly, you know, we raise up how many, you know, fingers we want to rate the beer. And I didn't realize Mike had 5 fingers on his hand. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Well, yeah. I
knew
there's
he had 1 finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was afraid there was a puppet, yeah. you know, that was involved, but.
Like a prosthetic thumb or something going on here. I don't know what's going on.
Or a prosthetic middle finger that keeps popping up.
I am giving this my ultimate compliment, which is I'm finishing the sample in front.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Moving on, let's go to beer number 2, which is Nirvana or Bust, double dry hopped NIPA, 7% ABV. So medium in body and smooth in mouthfeel, this easy drinking NIPA is ripe with juicy notes of citrus, grapefruit, and a little bit of pine.
I like this.
It's double dry hop with Nelson Sauvin hops, as well as Citra and Columbus for that heightened hop aroma and flavor. Now, this one, it just says 2023 GABF Brewery of the Year and 2024 Grand National Champion for this.
Really?
Well.
I don't think necessarily that's about the beer. I think that's just about the brewery.
Okay, yeah. And they just tacked it on.
I mean, this is an okay NIPA. It's pretty good.
Are you getting any pine on the nose?
Too much so. Okay. You know, almost said.
I get a little that resiny,
yeah,
in the flavor too. Like it's almost more of a
West Coast,
yeah, a Nuipa instead of a NIPA. Ooh, a Nuipa! I made that up.
You did. There's just something that is not in balance with the hop choice. You know, itself a great mouthfeel. You know, the base beer to me. Seems like it's very well made. Mm-hmm. I think you attenuated out, you know, quite well. I don't know. There's just something about hop blend here that
I like
seems off.
I like the beginning of the flavor, and I like the middle but I don't like the resiny finish.
I am with Dave. On there. If I love exactly the way he described it.
Wait, what? You're giving out fives and then you're agreeing with Mike? I mean, with Dave? I'm so confused.
Oh, yes. Mike's all hopped up on angry cider.
I guess he must be. Okay. So you're getting pithiness that you would know and expect, and citrusiness.
I don't know as much that it's... No, to me, it's more of a piney resinous.
But in the beginning, are you getting citrus?
It's like a Lagunitas Maximus.
Okay.
If I had to describe, some of the aroma components.
I think there is some citrus in there. And the mouthfeel is great on this beer.
Yes.
Yeah, the mouthfeel is awesome.
Like, amazing.
Yeah.
It's very creamy.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I just, I would wonder what hop they used, what the piney hop was. And maybe just back that one out.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, folks. Today we're doing a brewery takeover of Third Eye Brewing in the Cincinnati, Sharonville, Ohio area. And right before the segment break, we started talking about the Nirvana or Bust Double Dry Hopped NIPA.
NIPA.
So, or NIPA, right.
The thing that Juliana did was she actually read the hops out to us that were published on the can, and I was speculating what I thought was the hop that was throwing things off was a New Zealand hop, but it's actually something completely different.
The Nelson Sauvin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that has me, honestly, a little confused, because when I think of NIPAs, I don't...
Galaxy, Mosaic, yeah. All Day Long.
Right,
you know,
right.
Those are the cornerstones of really great NIPAs.
Right, yeah. Which makes me think that this really isn't a NIPA. And I know that there's Galaxy. A fine line between what is and what really isn't, but I feel like, is this maybe more Midwest because of that pininess that's in there?
Definitely. I think that if you were to have NIPAs from, say, Massachusetts, so you hop, you got something from Trillium or Treehouse, and stacked it beside this, I think you would go, whoa.
Where's the orange juice?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I feel like people tend to misuse the NIPA.
Label.
Because, and I think a lot of times you're selling yourself short. Like, you can make a hazy IPA that's not a NIPA.
I would have been a lot better probably if they had described it as a hazy IPA. My mindset would have shifted.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Absolutely. And I probably would have given it a lot more latitude.
Yeah.
Because
you're saying, totally.
When you hear NIPA, your brain goes to
it's focused.
Citrusy orange juice, because the body is a NIPA body, but the hop profile just doesn't.
I'm going to stick then with this is a good beer that I think that is just improperly labeled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to rate the Nirvana or Bust Double Dry Hopped NIPA a 3.
NIPA.
Or NIPA. Yeah. Yeah.
And now for the worst beer of the flight.
You don't even know that.
I haven't even tried it.
Okay. But. So now we're going to go to enlightenment. Good boy, Dave. Okay. Yeah. Some enlightenment. This is a blood orange wheat ale. This is 5% ABV.
This beer has two strikes against it right off the bat.
Okay.
Blood orange and wheat.
Okay, so it's a fruited wheat that's refreshing and well-balanced. The blood orange gives the soft wheat base a touch of sweet and tart goodness. Perfect for any season or occasion, according to them.
Tastes like soap.
What?
Orange soap.
Orange soap?
With tang in it.
Hmm.
It's actually not bad, but...
Okay, are you getting citrus on the nose?
Yes.
I think the first thing that's striking me is the mouthfeel. Great wheat beer, you know, really great base of, you know, wheat beer. Really nailed the...
It's got to be soft. Yeah. This is soft.
It's very soft and creamy.
The mouthfeel, yeah. Mm-hmm. The viscosity, yeah. You know, of all this. That is right on par.
A solid American wheat beer. Okay? I'm going to be nice and say that. Okay. It is well made. I don't like the style, but...
I think the other thing I enjoy about this is that it is not a jacked up, you know, orange laden, you know, wheat ale. No.
It's not shock top.
It is a, I'm going to call it finally something is in check. You know, orange wheat ale.
It's just enough orange that it just kind of rides along. It lets it be a wheat ale, but it's like, yeah, here's a little...
A little zhuzh.
I would definitely be very disappointed if somebody garnished this with an orange wedge. I think you are missing the opportunity to just simply enjoy the beer.
They've added the orange wedge for you.
Right.
You know.
So nothing else is needed. Right. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. I think this is a good reflection to me of great choices, you know, through what I'm suspecting was probably a half a dozen recipes they went through to arrive at this one, to actually, you know, move to that point of not going with something over the top and being rather reserved in introducing more and more flavor. The sugars of this in check. I love the bitterness. I like the finish. This is a very well-made wheat beer.
Julie, don't freak out. I think Mike likes another beer.
I like another beer, I do.
I'm so confused.
This is confusing and weird.
And all of those things. Also, I'm happy that it's not just a wheat beer. That it's got a little bit of something else, because who makes just a plain old wheat beer that's anything that anyone would go towards? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anymore. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah.
You know,
I think there are a lot of wheat beers that people laden with a bunch of fruits.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. And then it's like gross, because then it's more fruit.
It's more fruit than wheat beer.
And you're not even realizing it's really a beer per se.
I have a whole group of friends and family, as well as we have, you know, fans of the show, that they're just not into hops. I mean, it's just, not their thing. Right. And so I always challenge brewers and on-premise restaurants to say, you need to think about products that you're going to have on hand that are going to cater to people that just don't like, you know, incredibly bitter beers. And
yeah,
so, you know, wheat beers to me are really great choices, you know, for that. But the thing is that I find usually those are an AB InBev product that has way too much sugar and is way sweeter than this. And they do, you know, jam a bunch of fruit stacked on top of it. I really like this as a great choice for people that would walk into the brewery and say, I don't like those NIPA hops. You know, do you have something else that doesn't taste like I'm sucking on a bitter stick?
But I want beer.
I want beer. Yeah. And yeah. I think this is a great choice.
I think where wheat loses out sometimes, you know, other than the fact that it's gross and it makes gross beers, but is that for people like Mike said who don't like hops or whatever, a lot of times that's the same crowd. They're like, oh, I can't have gluten or blah, 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 whatever.
So they
just veer off to hard seltzer or cider or something. And then you've lost that whole chunk.
Yeah, that's a whole different.
And you haven't even taken a sip of the beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of people, they don't really think of wheat beers beyond like Belgian wit. Like, mm-hmm. they're like, man, this is, you know, Shock Top, Blue Moon, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. this is what a wheat beer is. A wheat beer can be something completely different. Like, this is a refreshing,
absolutely,
summertime kind of beer, like, that you can enjoy with a lot of different kinds of food and stuff. And I can't believe I'm saying so many nice things about a wheat beer, but hey, it is actually pretty good.
This is a day of interesting, I know, conversation.
Mike, would you pair this beer with Skyline Chili?
No, negative. I wouldn't stack Skyline Chili with dog food. So, sorry.
Wow.
If you stick noodles in something that has beans that's not chili. So, that's an abomination.
So no noodles and beans.
Okay. Apparently not. No,
unless you want to break out the chopsticks.
Hey, wait, what's that weird thing your family makes from Ohio that's got noodles in it?
Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Amish, you know, noodles and mashed potatoes is a delicacy.
That's totally different.
Those sure.
Egg noodles.
That's so normal. Oh, that's such a normal thing to eat. Yeah.
God. Okay.
I think some of the things I think about pairing this with would be what I call a five cheese grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, heck
yeah. An adult version of, you know, just two massively fresh, you know, slices of sourdough bread.
Yeah.
Jacked up with some garlic salt, five different kinds of cheeses, Colby Jack, provolone, cheddar,
So lots of milk fat,
absolutely,
and salt,
yep,
to kind of pair with this sort of sweeter, slicker little
beer. Let that thing melt until you just go, I think it might be ready.
Yeah. Know? Okay.
So
cool. So what are we going to rate this Enlightenment Blood Orange? Sure. Oh my God, a 4.
How about that? Great wheat beer.
Well, that was a good Ohio accent. Oh my God, a 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know, Mike has spent time in Ohio, and we will be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone.
Oh, wow.
So, today's episode, besides Dave getting really excited.
Wowie! We were tasting the next beer.
Okay. We are talking about Third Eye Brewing in the Cincinnati, Sharonville, Ohio area. And we're doing a brewery takeover. And so far, I have to say, this has been a really nice flight.
Yes. Can we name this episode, You're Gonna Make My Third Eye Blue?
Wow. Okay. So we are going to get into this next beer, which is called Getting Twisted German Pretzel.
The aroma on this beer is
okay. Let me speak. Crazy. Let me speak. So this is 5.2% ABV, and this is a German pretzel ale, which I honestly didn't even know a German pretzel ale could exist. So this award-winning beer was inspired by everyone's favorite salty snack, the pretzel. German barley, rye, and wheat mingle with a touch of salt to deliver this delicious, one-of-a-kind liquid pretzel experience. Now, this won gold medal in 2022 and 2024 at the Ohio Craft Brewers Cup.
The first thing that struck me with the aroma is it is incredibly floral. I mean, it tastes like you have just walked into a flower shop.
Or it smells like you went into a flower shop.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it is just...
Are you getting any breadiness?
I'm getting the bread on it. I'm getting like crackers.
A bakery.
Yeah.
Okay, so a bakery and a florist were next to each other.
I think like when you're about
doors open.
When you're like 4 or 5 inches away from it, it's the floral part. But then when you go in closer, that's when the bread and the cracker really starts coming in.
The bread comes out.
Yeah, dude, this thing's got layers going on.
Yeah, this is I don't know of a reference beer that's called pretzel ale. So I'm just looking at it, you know, for what's in the glass, and I'm going, wow. The thing that is really horrible about this beer is that I do not have a larger glass.
This is seriously like
really great, very tasty. You know, I'm like, wow, just can you give me a giant pretzel and a thing of mustard and just a small sign that says go away?
That little bit of salt that's in it. It just sort of accentuates all the other flavors. It's definitely like if you mashed up pretzels and made a beer out of that, you know.
For all we know, maybe they did. I mean, I don't know. Are you getting any spiciness, like any rye spiciness? I don't know,
but I'm actually
a little bit
tearing up a little bit.
Enjoy.
I'm crying a little bit. This might be.
It's I would describe the mouthfeel as creamy.
It is.
Lively, it's creamy. Yeah.
I finally know what love feels like.
This is definitely Stein-worthy, you know, beer. Yeah. You know, something that you would have saying, I just want a full liter of this.
Is this going to take over the Oktoberfest?
If there was another style of beer to be introduced, you know, during Oktoberfest,
this would be
would be saying this is it, yeah.
I'm interesting. Shocked. Yeah. How interesting.
Again, you know, I find myself coming to some of the same, you know, points of conclusion of saying the thing that I like about this the most is what it's not, which is not overdone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there again, this finite measure of grand restraint of jacking this thing up with so much, you know,
which could easily be done
flavor that it would have just, but what
a lot of breweries,
really good harmony, great balance, you know, I love for what they didn't do to this.
A lot of breweries would have made this like 7%. It would have been
a sugar bomb,
kind of red because there would have been so much rye in there that they were trying to make it actually look like a pretzel.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it would have had some kind of crazy German hop profile or whatever. This is like, you could get a glass of this and some pretzel with a beer cheese and you're freaking going, man.
It definitely reminds me of a lot of the Pennsylvania, you know, style rye whiskey. It really has a lot of some of those same, you know, floral components. I could pour a Sagamore, rye for you right now, and you'd go, man, Mike, you're just dead on, you know, between those.
Oh, sure. Or a little Wiggle.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania rye whiskey. Yeah. Yeah. I sure.
Everybody likes a little Wiggle in them.
The saltiness, though, it's like I feel it on my lips. I don't necessarily taste it, but I know that it's there.
It reminds me of just when, if you've ever witnessed me, you know, making a world-class, you know, old-fashioned, is the secret ingredient is just 2 drops of saline.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a lot to be said that, you know, really great beverages are finished off, you know, with just a touch of salt. And
so for all of you out there, if good old boy Mike is making you a cocktail and you notice him with a little eyedropper dropping some things, it's not roofie. Okay. So don't worry.
Yeah. Despite what you may think.
Not this time.
Now, if you get a little sleepy after the drink,
now, it's Dave just is coincidence. Doing that, it is definitely.
It's on. Okay. So let's rate this.
Yeah.
A salt. Oh, 5. We're going 5. I see 5.
Mike has pulled out the 5th finger.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, let's go to the Higher Purpose Milk Stout. Now, this one is 6.3% ABV. A little bit up there.
Well, they can make a beer that's over 5%. Wow.
Live life, do good, and drink beer. The perfect balance of roasted malts, this award-winning stout is dark, sweet, and full-bodied. The caramel, chocolate, and coffee flavors derive from over 9 types of grain combines with the soft, creamy sweetness from the lactose to tantalize the senses. So this won 2021 GABF Gold and a lot of other awards.
The only thing I don't like about this beer is the mouthfeel.
It's a little watery.
It's a little thin.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I don't know that I would call this a milk stout either.
Nope.
I think it's a roasty.
It's definitely more of that Rasputin.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not Russian style. Imperial, but it's definitely not milk stout.
But it's in that. It's headed just, into that territory.
It's a stout. You know, just call it a stout. You know, and call it a, you know, you could almost call it a coffee stout.
No. It's definitely not bitter enough to head down that path to being declared, you know, a Russian stout and a roast, you know, that you would think of. But
do you get a lot of sweetness from the milk? Or?
No. You know, milk solids or flakes of lactose that they added here. It's if it is, it is like way in the back of
which
this.
I appreciate that, but you know, but it's, I think it's again, this is like one of those where maybe they just called it the wrong thing.
I agree. I think this is a good stout beer that I think that they just mislabeled.
Okay. Yeah. But as a stout, let's say we're going to rate this a 4. Well, that's going to do it for today. I think this was a great episode, and we need to drive up to this area.
Skinsonet. Great beer. I thought what was interesting is the beers that you know they highlighted, at least, you know, the Double Astral, Dark Aura, mm-hmm. and Intersight were not in our flight today.
Sorry, buddy.
I like to think that, you know, the best was not necessarily.
If those are their flight, core beers and we didn't have them and all could this you was imagine? This good.
Anyways, wow. Yes. Okay. Well, good old boy, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Keep on sipping and enjoying great beer like this.
Good old boy, Dave.
Hey, thanks for enjoying good old boy, Mike.
And this is good old gal, Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.